Don't ever forget the cross. Amen. That's where we live, is at the cross. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Don't you love that old cross? And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Praise the Lord. Oh, that old rugged cross, it's so despised by the world, has a one, yes, attraction for me. Praise you, Lord. For the dear Lamb of God, let His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. Hallelujah. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, it's stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. Yes, for 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. Hallelujah. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last, we lay them all down. Praise you, Lord. I will cling to the old rugged cross changeable day for a crown. Last verse now. To the old rugged cross. To the old rugged cross. I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory for let's all stand. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to exchange it someday for a crown. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, the old rugged cross. Let us live there, Lord. Let us not stray. Let us not go out and try and earn our own way, Lord. Help us stay with God's provided way to escape. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe seated for one moment before we get into the message today. Just a couple announcements. And glad to be here. Are you happy to be here today?
Amen.
I know Brother Tim said he was going to be down in Elkton and some others, but I'm happy to be here today. And like I said, you can take a look at the sign. There's a new sign. It took a long time to get it there, but finally we got the sign up there, and I think everything's spelled correctly. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Maybe we'll have to come by at night, Jamie, and see if the lights are working inside and everything, but amen. Got new lights and everything. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Amos told me that his wife's coming not this week, but next week. So immigration, you know, just another obstacle in the way, but we'll knock down all those obstacles and he'll get his wife here. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
We'll be happy to see her. I'm sure Amos will be happier than us to see her. Praise the Lord. And then we won't have to believe he has a wife. We'll actually see that he has a wife. All right, I believe him. Do you believe him?
Amen.
I believe he's married. All right, praise the Lord. April 18th, we're having communion and foot washing on Thursday night. It's we chose to do it the day before Good Friday, so hopefully everybody can make it. 7:30 service on April 18th, which is not this week, but the next, right? Is that right? I think that's right. And then in May, we're having meetings, May 3, 4, 5. That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's coming up quick. And Brother Tom McKinstry from Ireland and Brother Andrew Beecham from England are coming. And good brothers and Brother Yvonne has agreed to come down and fellowship with us. But I really would like everybody to make every effort to be here for all the services. So Friday night, two on Saturday and one on Sunday. And so I think you'll get a blessing out of it.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And then next week we have our fellowship meal just regular scheduled. So praise God for that.
Amen.
Happy to be here. Happy to have something burning on my heart. You know, yesterday we walked a 10K, 10K, 6.2 miles or whatever. And you think, well, that's not that hard. But if you were as big as me, it might be a little different. Throw 100 pounds on your back. And so anyway, we made it by the grace of God.
Amen.
And so happy that we could still walk. I'm happy I can walk.
Amen.
I'm happy to be alive today.
Amen.
We could serve the Lord. You know, no matter what problems you have in your life,
Amen.
Just give them to God.
Amen.
It doesn't matter where you are in life. Just turn to God. He makes everything better.
Amen.
His ways are better than our ways.
Praise the Lord.
His way makes things better. Our way makes things worse.
Amen.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But let's all stand and read from the scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Very familiar scripture to us. First Samuel chapter 8. Oh, this battery's wearing out. We'll use this till the battery wears out, Sean, and then I'll use that one. Okay. So if you can't hear me, then let me know. This one helps me because I can hear my voice coming back better on this speaker, so I don't have to yell so much, right? 1 Samuel chapter 8, and we'll start with verse 1, but let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And Lord, every time we open this book, we're very conscious that we can't do anything without you, Lord.
Amen.
Every time we stand behind the pulpit, Lord, we realize we can't do anything without you, Lord. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we'll surely fail.
Amen.
Without you, we're like a ship without a sail. So we ask you to come today, Lord. Have mercy on each and every one of us, Lord. May you visit us today.
Amen.
May today not be a normal day. May it be an unusual day.
Amen.
For you are an unusual God. And you work in unusual ways.
Amen.
And we love you, Lord.
Amen.
And we invite you to come. And I invite you to take control of my being, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill everyone in this place with your Spirit, Lord. May you lift us up together in heavenly places.
Yes, Lord.
May we see clearly, O God.
Amen.
I ask you to bless everyone. Lord, I know there's many burdens and trials people carry. Lord, we just ask you to lighten the burden.
Amen.
Help us, Lord Jesus, to trust in you. To lay all of our burdens down at the foot of the cross. To repent, Lord. To ask your forgiveness. To seek mercy from you, Lord. Help us, O God, today. We commit the word into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second, Abiah, they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge over us, to judge us like all other nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. You may be seated. God bless you. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So it's a very familiar scripture to us. And I just had a thought as I was reading that this week. And I just think we'll just dwell on that today. And I like to title the message, Consequences. Consequences, you know. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But Israel was under the leadership of a prophet. And the people saw that Samuel's sons were not walking right. So they asked Samuel for a king so they could be like the other nations. And, of course, they didn't have any trust in Samuel's sons. And first of all, who says that a prophet, who says that the sons of a prophet should take over for a prophet? Not God. That's the human side, right? And sometimes a prophet, being that he's human, he can do things in a human because he doesn't know what else to do, right? Like if I had my sons here with me, my four sons, of course I would give them things to do, right? I would say, well, you do this and you do that, and they would do it because they respect their dad, right? But that's just the human side of administration. So Samuel, he was a prophet of God, but not everything Samuel said was thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Right? He went down to the house of Jesse and saw Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. That was Samuel the man comparing the oldest son of Jesse to Saul and saying, well, Saul was tall, this guy's tall, okay. And then God had to correct his prophet and said, Samuel, I don't look at men the way you look at men. Man looks on the outside. God looks on the heart.
Amen.
So even prophets have a human side.
Amen.
And that has been one of the mistakes that people made around the message of the hour. They tried to say that everything Brother Branham said was thus saith the Lord, when he himself said that's not true.
Amen.
So God give us the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we can understand what's right and what's not. But anyway, we see that God did ordain for the prophet to reign over Israel. God made them different. And so they wanted to be like other nations. It's never a good thing for God's people to want to be like the rest of the world. That never turns out right. Never. You know, we are the church, as Brother Ram said, the called out ones. We're called out to be different than everybody else. Doesn't make any sense in a spiritual way to try to be like other people. In a logical way, it did to the elders then, because they said, well, Samuel, he's making a mistake here. His sons are in charge and they can't be judges because they're corrupt. So we got to do something. That's very logical. But sometimes your logic gets in the way of what God wants to do. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, we have to be careful of that. Something can seem logical to us that goes against the plan of God.
Amen.
And we have to be careful of those things. So we're called out. We're not to pattern ourselves against other religions or the other. We want to reflect the body of Christ. If there's anything we want to pattern against, it's the Book of Acts Church.
Amen.
That's the way the church should be.
Amen.
Filled with the Spirit of God. Filled with the power of God. Walking in the supernatural power of God.
Amen.
Being led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's what we want to pattern after. Not say, well, this denomination, they have a gym and gymnasium and basketball court, so we got to have a gymnasium. You know, people have become a social club today. Instead of going to church to hear the voice of God speaking to them. So we want to be different than other people. So in verse 6 it says, but the thing displeased him. It displeased Samuel. They wanted a king and it displeased Samuel. Now notice, here's where it's hard. Because the people are saying he's in error for putting his sons in charge. And there was some truth to that. But when Samuel was displeased with them wanting a king, they didn't realize that it wasn't just Samuel that was displeased. You understand what I'm saying? When Samuel was displeased with the people wanting a king and wanting to be like other nations and wanting to change God's program of having a prophet reign over the people, they didn't realize that it wasn't just Samuel that was unhappy, but God was unhappy, and it was actually a really bad thing that they were wanting to do. Why is that? Because it takes real discernment to separate the human from the divine. In one vessel, you have someone who's human and manifests human attributes, but in that same vessel, God may actually speak through that vessel. And then when you cross the line and disobey that word, you're actually disobeying God. And God's not saying, hey, I'm going to give you a break because sometimes he was human. No, we need the Holy Spirit in our life Amen. To recognize what is human and what's divine. Amen. Right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So the thing displeased Samuel, and they said, give us a king to judge us. Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said, hearken unto all they say, because they have not rejected thee, Samuel. Samuel felt like they were rejecting him. Samuel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. Do you think the people of Israel, the elders of Israel, thought they were rejecting God by rejecting the leadership of Samuel's sons? It didn't look like that at all. They had complete logic. They said, we can't have this. We can't accept this. See, what they weren't realizing is God would fix that. Amen. Sometimes we want to fix something Amen. That God has a plan to fix. Amen. And when we get ahead of God, Amen. We can get in trouble. Amen. And that's exactly what Israel, the elders, were doing. They were getting ahead of God. They couldn't wait for God to come down and fix the situation. So they had to do something themselves to fix it. And brothers and sisters, this is one of the major problems we have in our life. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord Amen. Shall renew their strength.
Amen.
It's hard to wait for God, right? Amen. We're like, Lord, faster. I believe the promise. Now do it. We don't handle God that way.
Amen.
We believe God and commit it to him, and he comes in his own time.
Amen.
Right? I'm saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Right? But this full redemption is going to happen when God really takes us out of this world. Right? We can't expedite that. I believe in the rapture, but I can't make it happen today. I believe in the latter rain, but I can't make it happen in my time. Right? I believe the promises of God. I believe in the manifestation of the sons of God. But we can't force God to do it on our time. And that's where we get into trouble. And look at the severe trouble. Look at the consequences of what Israel did, even though they didn't realize they were doing something wrong. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
God has a provided way. See what God said to Samuel? Hearken unto the voice of people in all that they say to thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should reign over them. See, in God's eyes, the office of the prophet, the ministry of that prophet over the people, that was God reigning over the people.
Amen.
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 And whenever God sets up something like that, see, Samuel wasn't perfect. No man is perfect. There was one man perfect. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Outside of that, nobody's perfect.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Brother Branham wasn't perfect. He said, I made mistakes. We all make mistakes.
Amen.
But there's a part of the office of God that is divine.
Amen.
There's a part of the office of God that we do need to respect. Praise the Lord. So, praise God. That I should reign over them. God saw it as himself reigning over. So when they said, listen, we're doing away with, you know, Samuel's old. We don't want his sons. You know, we want a new way. We want a king. And that way is kind of like what everybody else does. So that's the way we should do it. They thought they had a brilliant idea. Can you imagine the elders getting together? I can just hear them. I can just hear the elder saying, we got to do something. We got to do something. We can't just sit back. We can't just, Samuel's old. He's crazy if he thinks his sons are going to take over. Can you hear them? God help us. Sometimes we should pray instead of, you know, scheming, you know. Praise the Lord. God has a provided way, and Israel was rejecting God's way. They were rejecting God's way to make their own way. This is a major problem. I want to look at this today because Israel, you know, Israel didn't completely cut themselves off from God when they did this, but they were still God's chosen people, but they had to suffer the consequences. What is consequence? You know, I love the dictionary. And so this is just to help you. It's not a word that I read in the Bible, but it's a word I'm using. Consequences. The effect or result or outcome of something occurring earlier. So in other words, something happens, and then because of that, what happened there, there's a result later. There's a result of later. So the example, it says, the accident was the consequence of reckless driving. So you see somebody reckless driving. You ever see somebody moving in and out of the cars, and you're like, where's the police? You know, this guy's moving in and out, speeding around, right? And then down the road, you see the guy in an accident. Well, the accident was a consequence because they were choosing to do this in and out kind of crazy driving. Consequences. So Israel was making a bad decision, and later they would suffer the consequences. And, you know, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about walking in the truth. We all want to walk in the truth. The Lord gave us a message about walking humbly with God. And I think that's very important, to walk humbly with God. Don't walk in an arrogant spirit. Don't be a know-it-all. Nobody knows it all.
Amen.
We actually know very little.
Amen.
So we should walk softly before the Lord.
Amen.
And actually, we live in a world where all these people are lost. We should walk humbly before God.
Amen.
And appreciate the grace of God.
Amen.
Not being critical of everybody, not finding fault with everybody, but walk softly and humbly and walking in the truth, walking in the right doctrines of God. See, but if we decide, maybe not consciously, but by our actions, we decide we're not going to walk the way with God, we're going to walk some other way, then we're going to suffer the consequences of that.
Right.
Doesn't mean God casts you away, but there's a price. See, I believe that when you're chosen by God, it's an unconditional covenant he makes with you. But you can do things that can cause suffering in your life. You can make choices that are bad. Doesn't mean you always make the right choices. You can make bad choices, but you pay the price for it. So think about the situation in Israel, how it seems so logical to approach Samuel. His sons were going the wrong way. You know, just take that point. It just shows that even a godly parent can have troubled children.
Amen.
You know, sometimes people criticize parents when their kids are not serving God. You can't force somebody to serve God. You can bring them up in the right way and they can go the wrong way.
Amen.
Think about it.
Amen.
His sons walked not in ways. They turned aside to lucre, to money. Money became a problem with these kids. They took bribes. Can you imagine how Samuel felt when he found out? You know, he didn't have to be there. He's a prophet of God. He could be sitting in his home at night and see a vision of his sons taking bribes. How did he feel about that? Right? How did he feel about that? They were his sons. Do you think Samuel didn't love his sons? I think he loved them no matter what they did.
Amen.
What they did wasn't right. They were going the wrong way. But parents, just we have this thing, we love our kids no matter what they do.
Amen.
That's how I am.
Amen.
I got children going the wrong way, but I love them anyway.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know what? If they're not believing for God, I'm going to believe for them.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Until God does something in their life. Praise God.
Amen.
So it's a real heartache for anyone who wants to serve God to watch their children turn away from God. That's a real heartache that many people suffer. But you can't force them to love God. How can you force another human being to love God? Can you?
No.
You know, really the best way for us to get people to love God is to let God be on display in our lives.
Amen.
To
Amen.
Die to self to such a place where all they see is Jesus.
Amen.
Because to know Jesus is to love Him.
Amen.
If everybody knew Him, they'd love Him.
Amen.
People don't love Jesus because they don't know Him.
Amen.
So our challenge is to get out of the way so people can see Jesus.
Amen.
But you know what the consequences are? If we yield to the flesh instead of to the Spirit, then they don't see Jesus. They just see us. There's consequences, right? And we want people to turn to Jesus, and they look at us, and then they find fault, and then we're like, oh, that hurts. If I could just get out of the way and show everybody in my family and all my coworkers and everybody that I know, if they could just see Jesus,
Amen.
Then I'd be happy.
Amen.
Right? Not me, Jesus, right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You can't change other people's heart by the strength of your will. Listen, let me say that again. You and I, we cannot change the condition of somebody's heart by the strength of our will. That's not how it works. Do you think God is unable? Do you think He's not strong enough? Help us, Lord.
Amen.
So God's not strong enough, so I have to change people. I have to force them to serve God. Christianity, I think we must have said it thousands of times, is not forced religion.
Amen.
There are many forced religions, though. Many. People are forced to do this, forced to do that. They have to do this, you have to do that. You have to go to church or it's mortal sin. Right? It's ridiculous, isn't it? Some sins, they're venial sins, but some sins are mortal sins. You have to go to church on Sunday. You know what? God wants you to go to church because you want to go to church.
Amen. That's right, bro. That's good.
You know, when my kids do something for me, I don't want them to do it because they have to do it. I want, if they act like that, then I don't even want them to do it.
Amen.
But if they do things because they love me and they want to do it, that's better.
Amen.
That's what we want.
Amen.
I want all my kids to serve God.
Amen.
I want everybody I know to serve God.
Amen.
I never met a human being that I didn't want to serve God.
Amen.
Even the worst ones, I want them to serve God.
Amen.
Why would I want anybody to go to hell? I don't want that for anybody. Right? I don't want to just be saved myself and then don't care about them. What kind of attitude is that? It's wrong. But people who claim to be Christians seem to have that attitude. Me and my four, no more. I don't care about them. That's atomic fodder. I don't believe that's how God feels about it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we realize Samuel had heartache to have his watch his children go the wrong way. And we realize we can't change other people. But what can we do? Well, we can. What do you think Samuel did? We can pray.
Amen.
Now, I have to say this.
Amen.
Sometimes when we talk about praying for situations like that, some people that are Christian react in a way that is offensive to me. When they act like prayer is nothing. Prayer is an atomic bomb.
Amen.
But here's the problem. People act like praying about a situation is less than actually human involvement. Not to me. My experience is the human involvement to fix a situation gets in the way of God fixing the situation.
Amen. 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 That's good, brother.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Look at these elders of Israel. Do you think they were sincere? I think they were. I think they were trying to do something that they thought was good, and they were actually offending God by trying to fix the problem that he had under control. Sometimes things don't look like they're under control, but God has things in control.
Amen.
Right? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Here's the problem. I got batteries here. The light's red, but then I'd have to take time to do that. So I'll just use this guy here. Praise the Lord. You following today?
Amen.
There are consequences to the things that we choose to do. I'm not talking to any one of you specifically about what you're doing. I'm seeing something in the scriptures, and I'm seeing the sincere elders of Israel not realizing that there's severe consequences to the choice they were making. Let's look at it a little deeper. Let's go into it now. I believe Samuel prayed. Look at Eli. Do you think they prayed for their sons? Eli had the same problem, similar problem. You know, some say that's not enough. We must do more. But I say, you know, I have seen people become aggressive with their children, and their motive was they want them to serve God, but actually the result, the consequences, they push them further from God. You and I, we don't want to push anybody away from God, but we can actually do things that causes people to go away from God. We don't realize we're being offensive to God and to other people.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Anyway, Israel saw the sons. They decided to take action. We must do something. We can't just sit around and do nothing. They didn't believe in prayer, right? Because they thought that was doing nothing. But we can see now, here the elders are saying, we have to do something. We have to do something. We can't just sit here. But we can look back and say, but you know what? They would have been better off to do nothing.
Amen.
Israel, not only the elders, but their children and their children's children for many years, the decision they made had a long suffering effect.
Amen.
We can see that it was better that they commit the matter to God and let God take care of it. So either some people lack faith or they just can't get out of their own way, but always seem to believe they must take some kind of action outside of praying, that they got to do something on the human level. Well, maybe the best action for us sometimes is to leave something in God's hands. Maybe. Let's go back to look at this. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4. All the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel Ramah and said, "Behold, thou art old, thy sons walk in not thy ways. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us," and Samuel prayed to the Lord, and we went over that they actually rejected God. See, how were they rejecting God? God had chosen the ministry of a prophet to reign over people. Do you realize God did the same thing in the last age?
Amen.
God doesn't want some other man ruling over you. God does not want your pastor ruling over you. He wants the Holy Ghost ruling over you.
Amen.
Do you realize the whole reason we get together and approaching God is so everybody can be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
And when the Holy Ghost is in your life, He will lead you and guide you into all truth.
Amen.
He will show you things to come. The supernatural will be in your life. You'll believe in the supernatural because you see the supernatural. And you know, God is there. But God never wanted, and when Brother Branham talked about the rejected king, and he talked about this scripture, and he said, God never wanted some man to rule over another man. That's His place. So in this end time ministry, God sent a message. He took the messenger away because people had their eyes on the messenger. People had put their eyes on Brother Branham too much. Right? I always liken it to the wise men following the star, right? And the wise men who followed the star, what did they do? They followed the star until it came to Jesus, and then they followed Jesus, right? But today we got people staring at the star. Isn't that a beautiful star? Brother Branham was pointing to Jesus.
Amen.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
That's the message of the hour, is that the word becomes in your flesh alive in you. Not that you could just appreciate what God did in Brother Branham's ministry. I've been to churches where the whole emphasis on Brother Branham and Brother Branham's ministry, and I love all the things God did in Brother Branham's ministry. I love all the stories. I love all the sermons. But the purpose of that light was so Christ could be born inside of you.
Amen.
And if we miss that, we miss the whole thing.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So there's a ministry, and we have the sermons. And I know the people that listen to Brother Bram's sermons can testify this, not just myself, but anybody who feeds on the message of the hour will realize how timely it can be.
Amen.
You can pick a message out of the blue. You can have your iPod or have sermons and just pick one out, and you think, I'm just picking it at random. But the Holy Spirit's moving your hand, and you're picking just the right one, and you play the right one that speaks right to your life.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's happened so many times, I realize God sent a prophet to this generation.
Amen.
And his message just wasn't for when he was alive there. His message is over us today.
Amen.
Like an umbrella, he pointed us back to the correct doctrines, you know, the trueness of the Godhead, the right baptism, the trueness of the right eternal security, the true doctrine of the serpent seed, and all these things that the umbrella there teaches us and leads us and guides us in the truth. That ministry still affect today. I remember I went to a church down there and near where Norma lives, and those brothers didn't believe in the tapes. Right? I call them brothers because I still believe, you know, but they disrespected Brother Branham's sermons. And then they asked me to preach. So you know what the Lord led me to preach? Hidden manna. We have manna from heaven, but it's hidden behind the ministry of a humble prophet. I thank God for this message. And if you ever get an attitude that we don't need that no more, you've missed something. That message was for the seven church age group, and we are part of that group. Praise the Lord. It's good. It's food for the soul.
Amen.
If you want to get happy, listen to the messages all the time. That's what Jamie does, is happy all the time.
Amen.
I'm picking on Jamie.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So people don't like the ministry of a prophet. They don't like that. That's not good enough for them. But see, when you move away from God's plan, you're asking for trouble.
Amen.
So we see how God said they didn't want him to reign over them. And then let's look at this a little further. So God allowed them to have a king. Look what he said. Hearken unto them. Be careful what you ask for. Remember Balaam and Balak? Balaam, he went and the king wanted Balaam, a prophet, to curse Israel. So when Balaam went to God, God wasn't going to curse Israel, even though they were full of faults and everything. He blessed Israel through Balaam because he was anointed by the Holy Ghost. But something wrong in Balaam's heart, right? And then the king comes back and offers position and money and all this. And this error in Balaam's heart saying, I know God told me not to go with him, but I'm going to ask God again. Well, what was wrong with God's first decision? Now watch. Balaam goes back to God and he says, go with him. God didn't want to go with him. He told him not to go with him. But when he asked God again, he said, all right, go with him. And that's when the mule was there and he was beating the mule and the mule spoke to him. And see, there is a God's provided way.
Amen.
There is a way that we should go with God. But if we resist God and we keep wanting to go our own way, he's going to say, all right, go ahead. But suffer the consequences. I don't know about you. I don't want to suffer. I realize today that my way is not the right way.
Amen.
The things I want to do are normally always bad for me.
Amen.
But God always does what's best for me.
Amen.
And what it is humbling ourselves. That's the key. Humbling ourselves to realize the difference.
Amen.
That sometimes we just need to accept God's provided way.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's not a complicated message today, but actually, if we really get it, I think it'll help us.
Amen.
I think it'll help us
Amen.
And avoid problems in our life.
Amen.
I don't want to have problems. I don't want you to have problems. I want us to have God's.
Amen.
I want us to go God's way.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So sometimes God will allow us to go our own way, even though he doesn't want us to go that way. And even though it's going to mean real trouble for us. But when we reject the word of God, and when we think we know better, that's when we're in danger of making more trouble for us. Let's go to 1 Samuel 8, verse 10. We didn't read this part yet. 1 Samuel 8. So God speaks to Samuel, and he said, all right, just tell them to go and tell them what manner of king it's going to be. Verse 10. Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. He will appoint him captains over thousands, captains over fifties. He will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of chariots. You want busy work? Okay, we'll give you busy work. Right? None of this existed. They didn't need it. Look at Joshua, you know, he goes out to fight, sun stands still, it rains fire from heaven and just destroys the enemy. Listen, we don't have to have armies like these worldly armies. We got God on our side.
Hallelujah.
We have the supernatural power. But people want the natural sometimes. Sorry, go ahead. It's not what I want, but I'm going to let you have it. But this is the way it's going to be. He's going to take your sons away from you. I don't know about you, but it makes me sad when my sons go away from me. Right? He'll take your daughters, verse 13, to be confectionaries. Well, that could be good. I mean, confectionaries, good thing, I guess. And to be cooks and bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, to give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and your vineyards, and he will give to his officers and to his servants, and he will make your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses, and put them to his work. And he will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. Now this next part is the worst part of all. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which we have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Oh my. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he reversed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men, go to every man his city. And then they picked Saul to be king. Oh my. You know, Saul turned out to be a problem king. Very troubled. Evil spirits. But not just Saul. Most of the kings were bad. Look at the kings of Israel and Judah. Look at their lives. They led people away from God. There were good kings. Don't get me wrong. We know Josiah and different ones that really were men after God's own heart. But for the most part, the kings were not good. Do you see the consequences? The unforeseen consequences. You're going to have a king, he's going to take it, he's going to take it, he's going to take it, he's going to take from you, and then he's going to take some more from you. He's going to take your sons and daughters, and he's going to take. Because he's a king, and he needs all this stuff. But if we just stay with God's provided way, he wouldn't have to take any of that.
Amen.
I would reign over you, I would fight the battles before you. I'll wipe out the enemies for you.
Amen.
Do you see the consequences of going our way? It's severe. It has real life results and real life suffering.
Amen.
You know, normally when people are suffering, they're always saying, you know, the devil did it, or, you know, where's God, or, you know, they want to blame somebody, but nobody wants to blame themselves. But do you realize, looking at this, we can bring suffering on ourselves?
Amen.
Amen.
Who is your greatest enemy?
Amen.
Who is your greatest enemy? Brother Branham said, my greatest enemy is William Marion Branham.
Amen.
And here's a man we respect. We're like, oh no, Brother Branham, you're the man. You know, we love you, Brother Branham. He was spiritual enough to know, my greatest enemy is William Marion Branham.
Amen.
See, by the grace of God and by the ordination of God, Brother Branham was able to suppress that man and let Jesus come out.
Amen.
We saw Jesus in Brother Branham.
Amen.
That's who we loved. Do you realize we probably wouldn't even like Brother Branham, the man? Tried to smoke, tried to drink, tried to shoot the guy. He was human.
Amen.
But by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit took over that ministry.
Amen.
And the man, what we love about Brother Branham was Jesus.
Amen.
It was Jesus and Brother Branham.
That's true.
And that's what we need to do. That's a good example to die to that flesh man, to the place where he's not reigning in our life. And then the consequences of that are people can see Jesus and Jesus can have his way.
Amen.
We want Jesus to have his way.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know what we need? And I'm going to say a big word. To let Jesus have his way, I'm going to say a really big word. Trust. If you don't trust God, he will not have his way in your life.
Amen.
Because if you don't trust him, you're not going to believe him. You're not going to expect that he's going to come on the scene.
Amen.
And then every time a situation or problem comes up, you're thinking, well, God's not going to do anything about it, so I got to do something about it. And you don't realize you're making more trouble for yourself.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
How do you know, Brother John? I've done it.
That's right.
I'm done doing it my way.
Amen.
I'm done trying to figure it out. God doesn't want me to figure it out. He wants me to believe him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And the greatest lesson I've learned in the last 15 years is get out of the way.
That's right.
I'm a warrior God.
Hallelujah.
If you get out of the way, whoosh, I come in there and I'll take care of the thing.
Amen.
But as long as you got to do it, I'll sit back and let you fumble around and make a mess out of it. Well, God don't do that. Yes, he does. Read your Bible. If you don't get out of the way, if you think you can fix it, he'll say, all right, you want suffering. I don't want you to suffer, but you want to suffer, so go ahead. I could fix this, but I can't while you're in there trying to get credit for it. He shares his glory with no man.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, hallelujah.
See, don't you realize as a Christian, you got to get to the place where you say, Lord, I can't do it.
Amen.
And then he goes, finally, you realize you can't do it. Now I'll help you. See, you don't get to the place where you say, I can't go any further, Lord. I'm going to give up. No, that's exactly where he's been wanting you to get to so that he could come on the scene and then you know it was him.
Amen.
You know it was him because you were at the end of your rope. You were at the end. You couldn't go no further. And then you cried out to God and he heard your prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
That's Christianity. Amen. When I am weak, then I am strong. Because when I am weak, then I'm really ready to give it to him.
Amen.
To give my life to him.
Hallelujah.
To give everything to him. But as long as we're fighting, we're struggling, we're trying to do it, we're trying to earn it, we're trying to be good enough.
That's
you know, sometimes you got to stop trying. You got to realize you're no good.
Amen.
Repent and say, God, forgive me. Lord, I need you to take the reins.
Amen. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah.
Because there's consequences to holding on. Like we always talk about that little two-year-old, he's trying to get through a steel door, you know? Two- or three-year-old, you know how they get? They're like, and mommy and daddy wants to open the door for them. How hard is it for mommy and daddy to open that door? It's like no big deal. But the two-year-old's pushing. He's suffering. Ah. Mommy and daddy say, all right, let me open it for you. No! I can do it. I want to do it. That's exactly how we are with God.
Amen. That's right.
Lord, no! No supernatural here. Let me do it with human manipulation.
Amen.
It's good, brother.
I'll change everybody around me.
All right.
He'll go, all right, you need some changing. You can't change nobody. And I'm having trouble changing you because your self-will is too strong. So we got some suffering for you. God doesn't want us to suffer. But it's that self-will, that arrogance, that pride that won't yield to the Holy Spirit. You know, it's in every one of us. I'm not picking on anybody here. I'm preaching to myself. Every one of us have that self thing we got to get rid of.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Pride, arrogance.
That's right.
Amen.
The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Those are things inside you.
Yes, sir.
The things of the world, you know, we talk about they're out there, but they're in here.
Yes.
Amen.
The things of the world.
Hallelujah.
All the things out there won't have nothing bother you if it's not in here. Right?
Amen.
But it's in here, then that's why you're out there.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, keep moving, John. Keep moving. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So, notice, Samuel said to the people, he told them all the issues that would come up. He told them what the kings would take. If this is a bad decision, and when they cry, this is what makes me sad. God won't hear you. I don't want any of us, I don't want anybody to get to the place where God doesn't hear your cry.
Amen.
But if you push your way and you won't take God's provided way, you could be in that same place that they were. How horrible is that? To create trouble for yourself and then God can't not going to listen to you because you did it. You forsook the counsel he gave you.
Amen.
So you create more trouble. Oh God, help us. Lord, help me be sensitive to your voice. Take my pride out of the way.
Amen.
Take all myself out of the way. Lord, I don't want to transgress. I don't want to step over your word and your will. Help me to hear the direction of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to your mighty name, Father.
Do we want by our own choice to bring more sorrow on ourselves? No, we don't want that. God help us. It's always best to follow God's provided way. See? Don't try to fix it. Let God fix it.
Amen.
That should be like a bumper sticker.
Mm-hmm.
That should be on your refrigerator. Don't try to fix it. Let God fix it.
Amen.
Because when you do it, you're in the way. You're actually probably creating more trouble. God's words are instruction book, isn't it? You ever read Proverbs and say, man, there's a lot of good advice in here. But you know, it doesn't do you any good unless you heed it. Unless you yield to it. Look, let me just take one, you know, in Proverbs that warns about that strange woman, right? Look how many men's lives have been completely destroyed because they didn't heed the Proverbs. Right?
Yes, sir.
The strange woman, the enticing woman. Come into my house. My husband's away. I know people whose lives have been destroyed because they committed adultery or they went to some other woman. And the Bible's filled with simple advice.
Amen.
If you want suffering, take another man's wife. Right? If you want suffering, take another man's husband. That's real simple, isn't it? There's other instructions in Proverbs. You know, I met a man, Clay McCleary. He was a speaker at a conference. He said, every day I read the Psalms and the Proverbs. It's not hard to do that. See? He says, I read the Psalms to help me with my relationship with God. I read the Proverbs to help me with my relationship with man. There's a lot of wisdom in that. See, because when you read the Psalms, you can see how David, how he cried out to God and the things he went through. David wasn't a perfect man, but he repented and then he worshiped God. He loved God. God dealt with him. David felt alone at times. He could reach out to God. So the Psalms, actually, we can identify with that and it helps us with our relationship with God. And then the Proverbs helps us in our dealings with man. See, so when we read those things, we say, yeah, I get into that situation. I got to be careful with that. You know, like, you know, meddling in trouble that's not yours. You're walking by and two people arguing, and then you want to put your 2 cents in. That's like grabbing a dog by the ears. Which is what are you going to do? You're going to get bit. You're going to regret it. You're going to suffer. We've all learned the hard way, see? Walk in God's ways. Let me just read a quote from Brother Branham. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I know it's unusual message today, but God is an unusual God.
Amen.
Now look at this. My new ministry, 1959. The other morning, I said to the wife, I'm already 50, honey. If I do anything for the Lord, I got to hurry. She said, Bill, God trained Moses 80 years and said he can train you for another 50 years to get one day's service from you.
Wow.
He's got a purpose for you, so just stand still.
Amen.
I thought that's a lot of wisdom.
Right.
He complimented his wife. Did you see that? I thought that's a lot of wisdom. Stand still. God moves every hand just according to his great plan. Just be still. It's hard to be still, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I'm agreeing. It's hard to be still. But sometimes it's exactly what he wants you to do. Just be still. Don't try to push. You get ahead of him then. It's a whole lot better to try to follow than it is to lead, because he's the leader.
Amen.
Amen. Do you like that?
Amen.
I like that. I say that's wisdom of a prophet of God who had eagle vision, right? He soared up where other people couldn't go, and he could see farther than other people could see, and he'd come back down and he'd give us a little insight.
Amen.
Be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
You know, I told you the testimony one time that I was down by, let me just say that it comes to mind. I heard a Sister Prill died. Is that right? Sister Prill passed away, so may she have peace. May she be at peace. You know, we know she was troubled. Brother Ed, you know, could tell stories of way back. She had trouble with human relationships. But I believe she's going to be there. Now, you can believe what you want. But I believe she's at peace now. See, because I believe she was a believer. Okay, she caused a lot of trouble. But, you know, I'm not bashing her or anything. One time she said to me that she pushed me in church. And I'm saying, Lord, I got enough problems. You know I didn't push her. But she didn't know that I didn't push her because she had mental problems, right? Amen. And we're just amongst family now. Again, I believe she's there.
Amen.
And so this becomes such an important thing that I went to pray to the Lord about. I said, Lord, and I went to my little place. You got a little place to go?
Amen.
I got a place when I go, God knows I mean business.
Amen.
I'm not leaving until I get until you help me, Lord. If you don't come and help me, you're going to find a bag of bones there. Because I need an answer. You need a place like that.
Amen.
My place was down by this little water, you know, the stream of water. And I sit there and I was like, Lord, you know, do I take action or do I just let it go? Or, I mean, it could be a legal thing. You know, my human thoughts, you know, like she's saying that I pushed her and wrote all kinds of letters. And I was like, Lord, help me. So as I'm sitting there by the water, something spoke to me.
Amen.
I can't explain it. Amen. Can you explain a still small voice? If you've experienced it, you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
I'm sitting there by the water. I didn't hear anything in my ears, but I heard very distinctly in here, be still and know that I'm God.
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Amen.
And I was like, yes, thank you, Lord. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to give it to you. I didn't really want to do anything. So I just gave it to him.
Amen.
So I left that little place and I went back to my car 10 minutes later. And I always had like an iPod hooked up where I could listen to Brother Ram's sermons or the Bible or like that. And my iPod didn't work that day. It did the next day. But that day it didn't work. And I turned the car on. And a Christian radio station came on just 10 minutes after that. And I heard dozens of little children singing, be still and know that I'm God.
Amen.
I've never heard that song before or after.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
And I literally said, if I don't get that, I got to be the densest person on the face of the earth.
Amen.
Be still and know that I'm God.
Amen.
Be still in your life.
Amen.
Let God fight your battles.
Amen.
You can't beat the enemy.
Amen.
You're going to mess it up. If I would have taken action back then, it would have been a disaster. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, one day, here, I'm going to say something to you that I believe with all my heart. One day, if by the grace of God we cross over that river, we're going to shake her hand as a young woman.
Amen.
And all that was a purpose for my training. See, Samuel was Saul and David. Saul and David had difference, right? Saul threw javelins at David. He ducked, right? But he didn't throw them back. So David needed Saul. David needed Saul to produce the Psalms, the Word. If it wasn't for Saul, we wouldn't have no Psalms. Not all of them, because some of them were because of what he was doing.
Amen.
That person in your life that's causing you so much heartache, you need that person.
Amen.
Stop asking God to take them away. It's God's provided way for your training.
Lord, Almighty. Thank you.
It's your training to learn to trust God no matter what anybody does. Trust God.
Amen.
Trust Him.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
All right. Praise God. You believe God?
Amen.
He's supernatural. You know, I felt all alone. I got down there. I realized God knows what He's doing.
Amen.
God knows what He's doing. Praise the Lord. Let me read this next quote. Putting on the whole armor of God. Now we find out that God gave His children the best, and therefore He don't have to improve it. He never changes. He hasn't changed one bit for the first time He gave His children protection. And we know there's war in heaven. He had to kick out Satan. He come down to earth and fortifying His children with His word. I want to ask you something. Just think. Now Eve did not, while she's standing in this great fortress of His word. Now Satan was on the outside trying to use some kind of technique to get her out of there. For as long as she stayed behind the word, everything was fine. That's where we make our mistake. We make our mistake when we get from behind the word. So I believe all Bible believers think it that way. We get from behind the word, then we're in trouble. But as long as we keep the word ahead of us and don't get ahead of the word, let the word get ahead of you, see? You just let it go and you just live right behind it. It plows a ditch and you just walk in it, and that's the way it goes.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Stay behind the word of God. Now notice what he was referring to. Eve, how did she get from behind the word? She was protected by the word when she believed the simple word.
Amen.
But when she listened to the reasoning, surely you won't die. Reasoning with the word. Reasoning. Where do we get in trouble? Reasoning.
Amen.
Human mind. Our human mind is enmity against God.
Amen.
Just believe God. Trust God. The devil's going to say, oh, that ain't going to help. Prayer ain't going to help. Believing God's word ain't going to help. That's the only thing that will help.
Hey, help us, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Shalom, 1964. Patience, patience. Look at this. Some of us get such a hurry. I think many a good man has done that. You get in too much of a hurry. You want to see. You want to do it yourself. And minister brethren, you know from what I'm talking, you that's listening to this tape, I'm talking to you, not only the little congregation here, but men around the world. Many men go out impatient, but believing that the time is near, you try to do something within yourself. Is this what I've been talking about today?
Yes, sir.
You try to do something within yourself. Wait upon the Lord. Patience is virtue. Yeah. If you can have patience, it's virtue. Yeah. It's virtue to you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Not they that try to get ahead of the Lord. They that try to tell the Lord, Lord, I know you want me to do this. And glory to God, I don't do that. Wait upon the Lord, the Bible said. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Listen, we all do it. We get ahead of God. We think we know what to do. And really, the right thing to do sometimes is do nothing.
Amen.
Give it to God.
Amen.
Maybe God is not doing anything because we won't give it to him.
Amen.
Something to think about.
Right.
Something to pray about.
Amen.
But I've been waiting for God for years. Maybe you never waited for God. Maybe you keep getting in the way of God.
Hallelujah.
You know what I love about David, to be honest? He did not focus on Saul. He actually loved Saul. He was really a little bit unreasonable in his love for Saul. And Absalom. Remember when Absalom died and he's crying? And the guys around him go, you got to stop crying, man. Keep crying over this kid, right? David had this love.
Amen.
That was unreasonable.
Amen.
For those that were trying to do him harm.
Amen. Wow. Hallelujah.
Woo!
Glory be to your mighty name.
Unconditional love is the greatest force in the universe.
Amen.
So what I love about David is when God even put Saul into that cave where he was hiding.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I love this story.
Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah.
And the guys with David are like, God is so good. Let me do it. Let me kill him. Right? Saul was trying to kill David.
Yes.
And his mighty warriors around him were like, David, God loves you so much. He put your enemy right in your hands. He said, I'll not touch the anointed.
Amen.
I wonder if all of us would make that decision.
Amen.
I wonder how many of us said, kill him! Kill him! I wonder how many of us would have killed Saul. But there was something wonderful in David that said, not me.
Amen.
He may die someday, but not by my hand. Don't touch him.
Amen.
Don't touch him. Maybe he took his bottle or spear or something, right? And then when Saul's far off, he goes, hey, I thought you were protecting your king. Right? Did he do it? Something gotta love about David, huh?
Amen.
You know, with all David's sin, he was a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
it wasn't because of his sin. It was because of something else.
Amen.
Something deep inside of him.
Amen.
He loved God.
Amen.
He repented.
Amen.
He worshiped God.
Amen.
He trusted God.
Amen.
Didn't focus on Saul. He focused on God.
Amen.
Why can't we do that?
Amen.
Let's do that.
Amen.
You promise from now on to do that?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Little David, play on your harp, little David. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Look at the Proverbs. All right, I need to finish up. I'm taking too long. There's consequences for taking too long. All right. Let me just talk about Abraham a little bit. God gave him the land. First sign of trouble, he left. Right? Is that true?
Amen.
And then he had that awkward situation where the king's like, you told me she was your sister. She's your wife. You know, when you get out of the right way, you're going to get some awkward situations. Right?
Amen.
You want to avoid those awkward situations? Stay where God wants you to be. Stay little in your own sight. He said, can you imagine Abraham's like, well, she kind of is my sister, but yeah, she's my wife. I'm not picking on Abraham because we know he's going to be there.
Amen.
Father Abraham.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But he got out from where he should be.
Yes,
help us, Lord.
Amen.
To see there was consequences, right? God promised Abraham his seed would be more than the stars. Did he do it?
Amen.
Look up. Count the stars. So shall thy seed be.
Amen.
But what was Abraham's problem? Waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting. Years gone by. I'm still counting the stars. I got no son. Right? He couldn't wait. Eve couldn't wait. Right? Brother Branham said Eve would have eventually had a son by the spoken word.
Amen.
Supernatural. But she went the natural way.
Amen.
And the natural reproduction produces suffering and sorrow.
Amen.
But the supernatural power of God is glorious.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So Abraham couldn't wait. And what did he do? He went to Hagar. Sarah was impatient too, and she's like, all this pressure on her. I'm supposed to produce a child. I can't. I'm an old person. I can't produce. Just take the maid. See, watch out for human frustration because that can lead to bad decisions. Abraham and Sarah together made a bad decision, went to Hagar, produced Ishmael, and Ishmael was not only trouble back then, it's still trouble today.
Amen.
Long-lasting consequences. Fighting against the promised son and his seed. Think about it. Wait for the promise of God. Isaac was only going to come with a supernatural event. Do you realize that? The promised son wasn't going to happen in any natural thing they did. They could have exercised. They could have run marathons. They weren't going to produce Isaac in the natural way. It took a supernatural body change for them to produce Isaac. Is that right?
Amen.
That's hidden in the scriptures. It's hidden between the lines because she went down and the king thought she was young. So, praise God. Sometimes we're waiting on God to do something, and we've tried every natural way, but the only way is going to be a supernatural event.
Amen.
We got to wait on God for that and believe God for that.
Amen.
Praise God. We don't want to get ahead of God. So Abraham, look what happened. One of the consequences, he had to put away Ishmael. You know, he loved Ishmael. Did Abraham love Ishmael? He thought Ishmael was the promised son for about 14 years until God said, no, that ain't the promised son. You're going to get the promised son.
Amen.
Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. No, sorry, very passionate plea, but that's not the promised son.
Amen.
Here's the point. When we go the natural way sometimes, our affections get on things that aren't right.
Amen.
Our affections get on placed on things that we created. Say, this is it. I mean, I did this. This is, you know, usually when someone comes up with a solution, it's a hard time for them saying it was wrong. Right? I work in the steam trap world, and these high-level managers will put in this orifice device. They say, no maintenance, never have to work on it, and really it's a scam. And they put the solution in, they spend a lot of money, and then when it's a problem, nobody wants to admit the mistake. It wasn't me. They look the other way. That's what we do sometimes. Because our affections are there. His affections were with Ishmael. He should have been waiting on his son, Isaac.
Amen.
That was the real promised son.
Hallelujah.
Be careful. What's the word of the Lord today? Be careful where you place your affections.
Amen.
Sometimes our affections are on things that are not from God.
Amen.
Trying to finish up here. This end time message movement, people can't wait.
Yes,
you know, trying to produce something. We need a supernatural event from God to produce what this message promised.
Amen.
Nothing less than that's going to work. We cannot fulfill the promise of God with our works and with our knowledge. It's going to take a supernatural baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Into the bride.
Amen.
The latter rain, Brother Bram said, will sweep the world. Let me just read this last quote and I'll finish, okay? The mechanics and the dynamics. I know Amos mentioned it. I believe the mechanics is there. They're waiting for the dynamics that'll take her off the earth into glory in the rapture. I believe it with all my heart. Yes, sir. We don't know how he's going to do it, but he shall do it. You know, you can run to some people around the message and they know how he's going to do it, but Brother Branham said we don't know how he's going to do it, right? Isn't that amazing? Some people know more than Brother Branham. We don't know how he's going to do it, but he shall do it. He is the dynamics. We just become members of the machine of his body, forming ourselves into his image and see him uniting himself with us in his works, with his love gifts as he hands them to us just before the wedding supper. And we're waiting, watching for that. Their big church is to be united. The dynamics of this church will be a refilling of the Holy Spirit. It's a baptism of the Holy Ghost. That we have worked in a small measure while the headstone is coming down to unite with the body. But when that head and body unites together, the full power of the Holy Ghost would raise her up just exactly like that. Even the dead that's in Christ for hundreds of years ago will rise in the beauty of holiness and take a flight to the skies. The dynamics is the Holy Spirit. He's the answer. Do you realize how much the Holy Spirit's an answer to everything in our life? The Holy Spirit creates an atmosphere.
Amen.
For the word to be fulfilled.
Amen.
Last quote. You want to stand with me and I'll read this to you? It is the rising of the sun. You need to close yourself in the upper room till the dynamics come. That's right. It changed them. It quickened them. It made them different. They were a changed people from then on. It quickened them from an old life of being a coward to like the lying of the tribe of Judah. They absolutely faced martyrdom, nailed to crosses, crucified upside down, burnt, thrown in the lion's den. No more cowards about them. Death had no victory over them at all. The dynamics was in the mechanics. Woo! Yes, sir. It quickened their mortal body. Now listen, here's another thing for proof. It so quickened them in such a way, you know that, what? They was lifted up in heavenly places, and their mortal bodies was so quickened till their language changed.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't believe that anymore, but I do.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It quickened their language. That's what the Bible said. And their mortal bodies being quickened, their language was changed. Their thoughts were quickened. Their spirits were quickened. Their life was quickened. They were quickened all together. They tried to talk and couldn't talk anymore in human languages. So they were so quickened in the presence of God until they spoke a new tongue, a heavenly language. Whew, what a quickening power. You love the Lord Jesus?
Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads to Him. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, send us that quickening power. Lord, we wait on Thee, Lord. We can't produce anything in ourselves. We know there's severe consequences if we get out of the way, Lord God. But Lord, help us to stay in the straight and narrow. Help us to follow You, Lord, and not get ahead of You, O God. Help us to hear Your voice, Lord Jesus. Father, how we love You and how we need You. Forgive us where we failed You. Lord, forgive us if we've grieved You in any way. Lord, forgive us if we've gotten out of the way and we're dealing with consequences now of choosing our own way. Forgive us, O God. Have mercy on us. Help us, Lord, to see Your will, to walk in Your way, to live in a simple, humble Christian life. Grant it, O God. Help us to walk pleasing to You, Lord. Bless each and everyone here, Father. Lord, with all my heart, I ask Your blessings upon this people. Break the chains. Help them, Lord. Lift the burdens. Heal the sick. Lord, You are a supernatural God. Divine healing is the children's bread. We should not accept the sicknesses that are all over this world, Lord. Not because we're better, but because You promised. These signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall cast out devils. In the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, I rebuke thee right now. Loose your hold on this people. You have no right to hold them. Sickness, all manner of diseases, no matter what you are, I rebuke thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. For the glory of God. Thank You, Lord, for healing us. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for Calvary. Thank You for all You've done. Lord, You've done so much for us. Every day we should walk grateful. Every day we should appreciate what You've done for us. Bless each and everyone here. May we walk victorious, O God. Help us to overcome our greatest enemy, ourself, Lord. We commit that to You, Lord. We can't do it, but You can. And I thank You for doing it. I thank You for healing us, saving us. I thank You for fulfilling us and for giving us the baptism of the Holy Ghost, filling us and refilling and baptizing. Lord, Your spirit is so sweet, O God. I want Your sweet spirit. I want that love of God, that peace that passes understanding. Grant it, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The musicians will come. Let's just worship Him today. Praise God. Do you love Him today?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord.
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes? 10? What's number 10, Sean? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Let's make it a prayer, not just a song. Okay? Teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees till in Your own good time You answer my plea. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from You. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with Jesus. Worthy are you, Lord. Amen. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame. One of them, Sean, one of them, I don't know what number, 151 maybe? There are people almost everywhere. Hearts are all aflame. With the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed them, made them clean. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. Oh, one of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them, one of them, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh yes, though these people may not learned be or boast of worldly fame, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide. His power is yet the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them, one of them. Are you one of them? One of them. I'm so can say I'm one of, oh hallelujah, one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. They were gathered in the upper room, praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and powerful service came. Now what He did for them that day, He'll do for you the same. Can say I'm one of them, one of them, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them, one of them, I'm one of them. can say I'm one of them. Come, my brother. Brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin, that will start the joy bells ringing and keep your soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart. Glory! I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them, one of them, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say one of them. Hallelujah.